Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's afternoon news, 720 WGN. There were a few moments of silence today in Highland Park. Hundreds of people gathered. It's so hard to see those pictures, and we're still reliving what happened a week ago today. Dr. Peter Langman is an expert on the psychology of school shooters and other perpetrators of these mass violence events, and he wrote a book called Warning Signs, Identifying School Shooters Before They Strike. So, Doctor, why are so many of these mass shooters angry young men?
You know, there's so many factors that can play into this. It could be family situations. It could be peer issues, academic issues, work-related issues. What we often see is that these perpetrators are failing in multiple domains. So they may not be in school. They may not have a job. They may not have a girlfriend or, you know, significant other. And combination of many factors, many failures, psychological dynamics, personality traits. It's a complex mix of things that put someone on the path of mass violence.
And I'm sure you've looked at the background, what's become available, the posts of the shooter in Highland Park. And when you look at, you know, what he had drawn on the outside wall of his family's home, the sex doll that he had hanging in his closet, what he had written on his car, what he had posted. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Yet we deal with families who say there were no red flags.
You know, one of the big issues is sometimes the warning signs are so obvious that in hindsight, it's hard to understand why people did not report them. And a lot of it, I think, comes down to denial. If this is someone in your family or a close friend and you've known them your whole life, it's very difficult to accept the possibility that this person whom you like or love could be a killer. And I think we need to educate people to recognize warning signs and to take action. It may be a false alarm, but it may not be. And we need people to move forward with what they know.
Right. I think that parents don't want to see their child be involuntarily committed or have a record that follows them if they indeed are not the next shooter. But it's we're getting to a point where it's 19, 20, 18, 21, 22, all the same profile. And there's got to be a stop. And I guess we start by identifying. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in so many cases, the warning signs are all over the place. They're easy to spot in hindsight. As I said, people often don't take them seriously or they can't accept that this person could follow through on what they've said. And that's where we need to make a difference, that people need to report. And if it's a false alarm, maybe no harm is done. But if it's not a false alarm, you could be saving lives. And yes, we don't want to overreact, but when it's a homicidal threat, there really is no overreacting. We need to get people to come forward. We need to be saving more lives.
I'm interested in some people who text and say we need to stop talking about this because a lot of these people who commit these crimes want the attention, and we're just giving more attention or you know, making them a media star, so to speak. But if we don't speak about it, we're never going to be able to determine who is causing this. We now have a good idea and how to put a stop to it. So through the research for your book, is there anything you could share with parents who might have questions about their kids and what they are capable of?
You know, every case is different, but parents should be consulting with mental health professionals or with law enforcement, depending on what they know. You know, sometimes parents have discovered their kids are collecting explosive materials or building pipe bombs. They may confiscate the materials but not call the police or not get their child in to a mental health professional. as I've been saying, we need to take these things seriously. People need to know that even someone who seems like a good kid, who has always been a good kid, has never broken the law, could still become a killer if the circumstances come together and they feel like they can no longer handle life and there's nothing left for them.
But through your book, Warning Signs, Identifying School Shooters Before They Strike, isn't there always some kind of warning sign? It seems like in many of these recent situations, the warning signs were just enormous.
Yes, that's what's so hard to take doing this research, to see how many people knew different pieces of the puzzle. In some cases, the warning signs were so explicit. Yes, and nothing was done. And that's usually the case, especially when you're talking about younger perpetrators. They usually reveal, disclose their plans, their thoughts to multiple people in the weeks or even months leading up to their attacks.
Absolutely. They have posted damning evidence on social media. There seems to be no movement there. When you go back and talk to their teachers or kids they went to school with, they all knew. In fact, when I talked to my 20-year-old son, he knows the kid that he would point the finger at if it was going to happen in his high school. He said everybody knew. And there are people in town who witness it and say this is kind of odd behavior, but there is no way to bring it all together. And I don't understand what we have to do to move forward to try and put a stop to it. Do you have any idea?
Well, I think there needs to be a public education campaign. It could start in the schools, but it needs to be beyond the schools. And states should have an anonymous tip line. Many states do have such lines, at least for students, but it needs to be for the community as a whole, that people in that state, when they have a safety concern, they know how to use the tip line, what it's for, what it's not for. There needs to be, like I said, a public education campaign around warning signs and safety concerns.
And what about the prefrontal cortex? There is research being done on that it is not fully formed until the age of 25. Is there a medical or a genetic reason for the way they act?
You know, in some cases, there may be genetic predispositions to certain personality traits. The realm of biological influence on violent behavior is one that's getting a lot of attention in terms of research, so that may be a factor. But even so, these people know that what they're doing is wrong, and they're doing it anyway.
Thank you so much for joining us. The name of the book is Warning Signs, Identifying School Shooters Before They Strike. Dr. Peter Langman, we appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
All the news stories say that gasoline prices fell 19 cents over the weekend. My producer, Brian, said he paid $1 a gallon less. He buys the good stuff. I haven't seen any break at all. What about you? We'll check in with Patrick DeHaan, the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, and get the latest prices. And maybe there's good news. That would be a nice change. That comes up after Steve's newscast from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
WGN.